Hello and welcome to Coffee Chat with Dream Life Creators, a podcast where we inspire, motivate, encourage, but also give you practical tips to live your dream life here and now. I'm Alinka Tercic, your host, and today I'm excited to chat with Becky Barnes. Hey, Becky.
Hello.
Hi. And the funny thing is that we actually met in real life, so that was really awesome, and thank you for, you know, taking time to meet with me. But we talked about there, what's the difference between my country and your country regarding the secondhand shops, because that's what we will be talking about, right?
Yes, so great.
Is this a cultural thing, or is this a development thing, or, you know, how do people become more aware of the, you know, using the secondhand or more sustainable wardrobe?
Well, I think there's lots of factors that come into play, but one of them is definitely cultural. And I think also it depends on, I guess, a lot on your family's history and what your connection with secondhand clothing is. So in England, I think most people are open to really looking at secondhand clothes, be it from charity shops or vintage or eBay or whatever. But when I was in Ljubljana, I was talking to a lady who has a gorgeous vintage shop, actually, and she was saying that part of the struggle in your country is that there was a necessity in the past to use secondhand clothes and to have clothes handed down. And therefore, for the generations that are working and living now and who can afford to buy new, that's actually their choice, because reverting to secondhand has connotations from the past and it's something from which they want to move on from.
Yeah, I actually agree that that might be a thing, but your business is now bringing the awareness of, you know, finding nice clothes and being
yes.
aware of the environment as well.
Yeah, and that's another element. So I think people are becoming far more eco-conscious now and are really, really trying to make positive changes in their life, even from, you know, just reducing the amount of perhaps single-use plastic bottles that are being bought into the home. And then that's filtering down into the sort of fashion industry as well. And so part of my job is to help educate people and just make people aware of the choices that are available. I don't kind of live and die by an eco vibe, but I just want to kind of say this is one way of doing it. And you can actually be quite flexible in that.
Cool, cool. So I know that someone referred you to me because you're doing this 1 year challenge. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. So at the beginning of the year, when everyone has their brilliant New Year's resolutions, I thought, what can I do? And I'd recently watched Blue Planet, which was the incredible documentary that David Attenborough did. And I was really, really concerned about the use of plastics that were getting into our oceans. And so I vowed to reduce the amount of those that I was using. But then that also then got me thinking about, actually, is there a way that I can reduce my footprint on the planet through my clothing as well? Because in the UK alone, we send about 230 million items of clothing to landfill every year.
Wow.
So I thought, what can I do to try and prevent that, try and reduce the amount of clothes that I'm turning over, and also encourage other people to come with me? So my cousin who lives in Australia and I decided that just the two of us would try and go for a whole year without buying any clothes from new. And there are certain exceptions. So things like underwear and potentially things like footwear or specialist items we can buy. But other than that, we're going to try and source everything from secondhand. And that's what happened. And when I threw the challenge online, I've now got over 80 women who are joining me on the journey.
Cool, cool. That's great. I mean, so how did you, so far it's almost half a year of the year. So how did you, let's say, survive this far? How are you going on? You know, do you have any problems finding new clothes or challenges, or what changed in your life?
Well, you can imagine that just after Christmas, everywhere has the sales. Okay, and my inbox, literally, I must have had about 30 emails every day saying, reduction in 70% off, all this stuff. And it's actually, you get sucked in by that. I hadn't realized until I became really aware just how bombarded I was with offers. So the first thing I did was just reduce any temptation. So all of those sales emails that came through, I just unsubscribed so that I'm just not being tempted. And also when I was in the shops, if I saw a sale round, I just wouldn't go near it, you know, just walk on by. And I think once I'd then kind of understood that I just needed to put temptation out of my way, I then started focusing on the other side, which was, so actually, what is available and what great things could I find? And then I just started shopping completely within charity shops, vintage shops, pre-loved designer boutiques, online. And there are so many amazing things that I'm now almost in June, and I just can't imagine being tempted by something new in a shop now.
Cool.
Famous last words. Who knows when the challenge ends and January comes out and I see an amazing thing in the high street that I have to buy, maybe I'll buy it. But at this point in time, I'm really happy. And in fact, it's not been such a huge transition for me anyway, because I've just had a look in my wardrobe and I think about 75% of it's pre-loved anyway. So I've always done a lot of shopping through these methods.
Cool. So do you think that, and you mentioned like 70% off, and you know, the clothes are now so cheap that we kind of don't feel the need to, you know, even to preserve it, or, you know, in the past you said we were in the, you know, struggling. So we were sewing and we were, you know, patching and doing everything. And I remember myself when I was a younger, you know, like a 10, 15, I was knitting a lot, and I really, you know, was sort of a professional because, you know, the designs that I made were amazing. But now, you know, the wool is so, so expensive, and my work and my time. And then I just go to a shop and I get something for 10 euros. So do you think that the, you know, we all know about the prices, you know, and the cheap labor and everything, but how do you explain this to someone who says maybe, okay, I can get a new wardrobe for the same price as the old one, or the, you know, used ones? Or how do you tell people to be more aware of this situation?
Well, it's a personal choice, isn't it? And I would never tell anyone they had to do anything. It's just all about actually a personal choice. So I know that if I go into a high street store and I'm buying a jumper brand new for £3, that actually chances are that the fabric it's made from is really poor quality, and the conditions in which it was made was also really poor quality, which means it probably isn't going to last very long anyway. So quite often it's a false economy when people are buying clothes brand new at a cheaper price. I would say if you are buying brand new, then look for better fabrics, look for better workmanship within the way that the clothing was made. And then chances are you're going to enjoy wearing it more as well, because it's going to feel great, but it's going to last. And that's really what we want everyone to do. It's just make your clothes last as long as you can, and always, always, always keep things out of landfill. So even if a garment has become, past its best, so it may be a little bit bobbly, or it may be ripped or stained or something, still never ever put it in landfill. It can still go to your charity shop and they will sell it for rags, so it still has a value to them, and it's keeping it out of landfill. So always just think, where are my clothes going to end up?
Yeah, I totally agree with you that it is a choice. It's not that, you know, you have to tell someone to do something, but that's kind of your mission to bring this awareness to people. So what are the other problems that you think that the women face when, you know, buying for new clothes and, you know, finding great pieces for themselves?
In general, I think women put themselves under huge pressure to look good all the time. And therefore, when you're applying that level of pressure all the time, you just get into a state of overwhelm. And so women then just don't even know where to start. It's almost like you become paralyzed, because we see all these images of women looking amazing and you think, well, how am I ever going to look like that every single day of my life? it's not going to happen anyway, is it? So my advice is just always just be kind to yourself, right? Don't think that you have to be anything other than you. Really get into your personality, your style, your lifestyle, and then create a wardrobe that reflects that. I don't want you to be like anybody else. I want you just to be like you and get so into you that everything just feels so natural. And then you start just becoming a detective, and it's like, okay, so what do I really like? What makes me feel good? What colors make me feel alive? What do you deduce from that? And then you start to build your sort of style DNA, and then that gives you a really good clue about what's going to work for you in the shops, instead of just walking in and just being almost overwhelmed with all the choice that's there. You think, actually, no, none of that's right for me because it's not really my style, and I don't care whether it's this season's latest fashion. It's really not, it's not for me, but I am going to focus on that bit because that's a gorgeous print in one of my favorite colors, in one of my favorite fabrics, which I know is going to feel amazing when it's on my back. So I think it's all about just having the courage to just go with what you like and just filter out all the noise that's happening on social media and magazines and TVs, because none of that's real.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you, because I'm the person that's the most overwhelmed in malls. You know, I just hate going there just because I feel this energy of people being frustrated and overwhelmed and nothing. You saw me, I'm pretty tall and nothing fits me and everything is gray, and gray is an awful color for me. So yeah, I understand what you're saying. And yeah, it all comes down to knowing yourself and, you know, knowing what you're comfortable in, what fits you, what's your color and things like that. But how do you feel about, you know, all these shops now having some sort of a eco-friendly and bio and, you know, lines of clothes? Are they the same as, you know, sustainable, or do you still think that it's more like a marketing move?
Well, it's probably both. So there are definitely some clothing manufacturers and shops who are jumping on the sort of eco-green marketing side of things and are definitely pushing that without really, really getting to grips with what's making their clothes sustainable in the first place. But then there are also brands who are completely in the eco and sustainable space. So I think, again, it's just being educated and doing your research in terms of what do these companies really believe in, and really look into their ethics, look at what their clothes are made from and where they're made. And that'll give you a really good clue as to whether they're spot on. But I would say it does make a difference, because if you think about just one simple t-shirt, if you're buying one cotton t-shirt and you think buying cotton is great because it's actually a natural fiber, actually it's not necessarily great unless it's organic cotton, because unless it's organic cotton, there's been so many pesticides that have gone into the creation of that, that actually it ends up being really harmful to the environment. And just one t-shirt alone, the creation of that takes enough drinking water for one person to survive for 3 years. So it's massively labor intensive and resource intensive as well. So by using things like Tencel, Modal, so they are man-made fibers, but fibers that have come from a natural source. More often than not, it's a wood pulp. And again, so that has less environmental impact than saying using something, say, as cotton or linen or silk.
Oh, cool. So how can someone who has, let's say, no clue or just embarking, and you said there are a lot of information, you can do research, but you can also get overwhelmed with all this information. What are the simple ways that we can be more aware of the sustainable clothing or the materials, and, you know, to really know what to buy and, you know, feel good about it?
Yeah, well, the first thing you can do is just have a look in your own wardrobe. Just see what's there. Pick out something, have a look at the label, and just determine what it's made from. You'll probably be surprised at how many synthetics are in your wardrobe. So even that, just as a first instance, is great, because it starts your conscious mind thinking about what your clothes are made of. So just think about the fabrics. But also, just think about extending the life of your clothing. So if you had something in your wardrobe which maybe had a little mark or a stain or a rip or something, and maybe your instinct is to just throw it out because you think, well, it's past its best now, just think to yourself, is there anything I can do? Can I don't know, put some buttons or some amazing little embellishment over it just to extend its life cycle? And then also think about what you're buying in the first place. Do you really need those things? You know, we all get sucked into thinking that we have to buy things every season and it's just this constant churn. Maybe you don't actually need anything. Maybe what you've got in there is fine for the moment. So it's just about, again, keeping an eye on your consumption and what's coming in the first place.
Yeah, but what about in the store when you go to a store? Okay, when you go, I imagine even secondhand shops are not the same. Or yeah, you save, you know, environment, but repurposing it. But you know, I think in the past, and even for myself, you said the cotton. You know, for me, the cotton is okay, good quality. This is good for me, and synthetics is not good for me. So I think that we all need to be more educated on the materials and what's available and what's really where this industry is going.
Definitely. But I mean, materials are really interesting, because if you get into, say, a vintage store, if they've got a lot of clothes from the 60s and 70s, chances are a lot of that is from synthetics anyway. Yeah. Because that's when it kind of really skyrocketed. But I'm okay with that, because it's in a vintage store, and therefore if someone's going to buy it, it's going to get used. So it's not going to end up in landfill somewhere. It's actually still being a part of a working wardrobe. So I think it's just all about balance, isn't it? You know, just being aware of the number of clothes you have, the life cycle of the clothes you have, the makeup of the clothes that you have, all of those will go into making you more environmentally conscious in the way that you're dressing.
Cool. So when you go to a charity shop, you know, what do you look for? What tips can you give us? And you've seen that we don't have many. So this is not something that I grew up with or that I'm very, very familiar. So someone who has no idea or no prior experience, what can we expect? And what we can get from it, you know, what do we look for?
Yeah, well, what can you expect? It's generally, they're not like a regular store where everything's laid out in little sections where you've got all the sizes for each range. That just doesn't happen. Invariably, there will just be one of each item. If you're lucky, they might be sorted in size order, or they might be sorted in colour order, but sometimes it's just a whole jumble. And that's why you really need to be in the right frame of mind to go in them, because it's harder work, right? You've really got to be in the mindset where you're prepared to just literally work your way through every item. And what I tend to do is, without looking at sizes, is just go along the rails and maybe just run my hand along it to see if there's any fabrics that I'm particularly drawn to. But also I'm looking for colours and prints and things that really speak to me. And then if something's really caught my attention, I will pull it out, have a look at the size, have a look at the shape. It might be worth trying on. If not, it goes back on. My advice is always take more things into the changing room than you think. If you're in a charity shop, definitely try things that you would not have tried in a high street store. Okay, just be a little bit more creative, be a bit more adventurous, take more risks, because actually the risk is lower, because the price that you would end up paying is less anyway, isn't it? So you may as well just go for it. Another tip for sort of charity shopping is go on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. Okay. Because a lot of people will do their sorting and do all their decluttering at the weekend, which means they might take things in late on a Saturday afternoon, or it'll go in on a Monday morning, particularly if they've been trying to sell it as a car boot sale. So if it goes in on a Saturday or Monday, it's going to take a little bit of time to process, to label and bring back in the shops. So Tuesday and Wednesday are my best days for charity shopping.
Wow, that's a great tip. I actually never thought of it, but yeah, it makes sense, definitely.
And also look outside your sizes. So if they are sort of stacked in size range, and you, for example, are a 10, look either side of that, because sizes vary so much. And if you're looking at a vintage size, so I don't know, a vintage size 18 is probably much more like a modern day 12, 14. So if you're a 12, you might think, well, I'm not looking at the 18s because they'll be far too big for me. It actually depends on the item. Similarly, if an item has come from Far East, then they will be much smaller than if they've been produced in maybe Europe.
Cool. Yeah, definitely. And you also said, you know, keep an open mind and try things that you would not normally do, because yeah, I noticed that because I'm, you know, so overwhelmed, I just run into the store, you know, pick something familiar that I know that fits, you know, usually, you know, like a t-shirt that, you know, you can go wrong with t-shirt, and run out.
But have you got a friend or a daughter or someone who's a great shopper? So someone who is really not scared of these things.
My daughter is a great shopper, and I hate going with her because whenever she wants me to go with her, but she's like, "Oh, mom, look at this, look at that," and I'm like, "Oh, give me alone, you know, give me a break. I can't handle this." And she's like, "No, I don't want to buy it. I'm just showing it," and you know, she's like, showing me 100 pieces and, "Oh, look how this is cute, this is cute," and I'm, "Oh God, no, I need a personal shopper that comes to my house, bring me, you know, the selection." That would be my perfect shopping experience.
Oh, I should have taken you shopping when I was over.
No, it's cool.
That would have been so good. But in all seriousness, if your daughter is a bit too much, if she's just like, you know, again, overwhelming you with choices, then just take another friend. And because it's always, sometimes I think it's easier for other people to find pieces for you, particularly if they know you well. Yeah. And they can just have an eye on your behalf and just say, "Actually, why don't you try this and try this?" Because again, we all get slightly into our routines of things that we look for in shops. You know, some people always go for stripes, you know, some people will always go for navy blue, whatever it is, something becomes our uniform, and then it's difficult to break out of that. So if you bring somebody else with you, then they are more open-minded and they will just bring out things that you never would have considered previously. And that's the fun, isn't it? You know, some things might look terrible on, but actually, what's the worst that's happened? You've just had a giggle in the changing room, you know, and you put it back on the shelf. There's no harm.
Exactly. And that's exactly what you're doing, right?
Exactly. I love clothes. I mean, I literally have had a love affair with them my entire life. And I love getting dressed, and I just get excited every time I walk in a shop. It doesn't matter what shop it is. I get excited because I don't know what I'm going to find. And my job is to help other women find that same joy and that same excitement through clothes. And for dressing to be a real pleasure and a source of joy, rather than one of frustration and one of you feeling that you're not good enough and you weren't the body that you had before you had children. All this stuff is just rubbish, you know. Let it go. Just concentrate on the here and now. Concentrate on finding pieces that you love, that make your heart sing, and that make you happy every time you put them on.
Yeah, exactly. So do you have any favorite finds in the charity shops?
I do. And you know, I nearly had it with me so I could do this. Ta-da! But I don't.
Why don't you?
But I found a couple of things. So I found a beautiful silk scarf from Liberty's in an antique shop, which was £10, which is ridiculous. Wow. I found a pair of brand new Jimmy Choo gold shoes for £35. Wow. I found an amazing ornate necklace, which is all with semi-precious stones and seed pearls and jet. And I paid £3.99 for that. And it was a bit grubby, but then when I cleaned it up and I found a little tiny name on the back and I did some investigation, it turns out it's an American designer, and that piece was from one of the original collections, which sold for over $1,000.
Wow. Yeah. Because there you can find just clothes. You can get shoes and bags and jewelry and everything else in these charity shops, right?
Absolutely. And a lot of people are funny about shoes. I don't really like secondhand shoes. If you can see that somebody's worn them and their feet are molded to the shoe, I just can't go there. But invariably, a lot of shoes that come into charity shops are brand new or they've only been worn once. So perhaps somebody's tried them on in a shop, they've had a little walk around, it's felt okay, but then when they've gone to wear them for real and they've had them on their feet the whole day and they've realized they're too high or they're too uncomfortable, they just go. So again, it's worth looking outside of the clothes to see what other things you can find.
Yeah, I love this idea of, you know, being slightly uncomfortable and really trying new things, but also being aware of the environment and, you know, the impact that you live in this world. Because like you said, there is plastic everywhere. You know, we have so much garbage and trash around, and it's really sad what we are doing to our environment.
Yeah, if you think about, if you picture the Empire State Building in your mind, you know, you've got it, that big building. So in North America, they bury the equivalent of two of those every month of clothing. And it's just got to stop. You know, we are now consistently buying clothes on a much more regular basis for cheaper prices than they've ever been available. And that has generated this throwaway culture. We think, oh, it was so cheap, so therefore we have no value for it. And therefore it goes out the other side. And then we just, at some point, that needs to stop.
Yeah. And it starts with every one of us, definitely.
And exactly.
And I love that you're doing this, and I love that you are bringing this awareness. And I follow some people on Facebook that went on charity shopping with you, and I must say that you found some amazing pieces. So where can people find more about you or even join you on one of those shopping trips?
Yeah, if you go to, well, either my Facebook page, which is Becky Barnes Style, or my website, which is beckybarnesstyle.com, just connect with me. I'd love to be able to tell you more about the things I'm offering. If you want to join the challenge of not buying any clothes for a year, you can absolutely start now. You know, just let me know and I'll put you in touch with all the resources to make it easier for you. And certainly the charity shop tours are something that I never imagined doing. So if you'd said to me last year, this year you're going to be running charity shop tours for groups of women, I just would have laughed. I would have loved it, but I would have laughed. But it's now actually happening and they're becoming really popular. And they're for people like you, you know, who are slightly scared of them and don't know where to start and maybe feel a bit uncomfortable in them. So if you come with a group of other women and with me, I'm going to guide you around and pick pieces for you so that it just makes it less scary and more fun. And every single person that comes on a tour goes away with quite a few items, and every single person has said, I never would have picked that. There's just no way I ever would have picked that by myself, but I absolutely love it. So again, it's just encouraging you to step out of your comfort zone and try something different.
Awesome, awesome. I love what you're doing, and I'm definitely, you know, planning to join you to one of your trips, because I kind of need a little push. But I also love what you're doing with the environment and the bringing the awareness of the you know, sustainable clothing industry and being more eco-friendly with our behavior and everything.
You can even do something with your friends. So you could, if charity shopping maybe is a step too far, why don't you do clothes swapping? So get a group of friends together, go around to somebody's house, you bring all the things that you don't wear anymore or maybe you're bored of, and all your friends do the same, and you just do a little swap.
Wow, that's a cool idea.
So again, it's recycling clothes, it's extending the life cycle of those. You feel great because you've cleared stuff out that you weren't using anyway. You're then refreshing your wardrobe by bringing in some new items, you know, and you've had some fun doing it. It's always great fun when you start dressing up with your girlfriend and trying different things on. You'll have some hilarious outcomes. And you can even do that on a bigger scale. So next week, I'm holding a huge clothes swap. And I've sold 110 tickets. Maxed out at 100, and then I had a waiting list, so I released another 10 and they went. So one evening, there's going to be 110 women coming to a clothes swap. It's all to raise money for charity. They will pay to get in, and they're going to each bring three items of clothing that they don't wear. It all goes onto rails in size order, and then they can swap them for three different ones.
Oh, cool. That's an awesome idea.
Yeah, and again, it's really good fun because I've known that it's coming up every time I've been doing wardrobe edits with clients. If there have been surplus clothes, I've said, would you mind donating? So I've already got about 150 items ready for people to swap, and I've got some beautiful things, lots of clothes that still have tags on as well, because many of us women buy things in the sale that were a mistake, with, you know, they're a bargain, but we've never worn them. So, and then if you think there's going to be another 330 items coming through the door on the night, you know, there's nearly 500 pieces for you to choose from.
That's amazing. I mean, I love this idea because you're bringing people together, you know, to be, again, to raise the awareness and, you know, raise money for another charity. So I love everything about it.
The charity that this one's raising money for is called Labour Behind the Label. So they're a Bristol-based charity run entirely by volunteers. There's only three volunteers that run it. But their whole work is about improving the lives of garment workers around the world, who are generally around 90% women or young girls, who are generally being paid a pittance. And the work they do is really, really helping make a difference for their standard of living and the conditions in which they work. So it's amazing. We're doing something for the environment, and at the same time, we're raising money for an anti-slavery charity. And it's all connected with the clothing industry.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a really nice combination of things that are going on.
So definitely, and I would love to include a link to this charity when we do a blog post and promotion for this podcast, so people can look up and maybe help, maybe some other way, or donate or whatever. But definitely, that's a great cause, and I would like to help you spread the word and
help. Thank you. Yeah. But every little helps, you know, and they put up a lot of resources as well. Also, if you look at fashionrevolution.org, they have heaps of free resources how you can become really environmentally more aware with your clothing choices as well.
Awesome. Okay, thank you, Becky, for this amazing interview. I really enjoyed it because it's something that, you know, it's not really what I'm usually talking about, but it is enlightening, and it is, you know, something to think about. So definitely worth sharing.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. The more people that know about these things, the better.
Yes, definitely. Thank you for listening. I'm Alinka Tercic, your host, and this was another coffee chat with Dream Life Creators. Bye.